Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great, doing great.
I was going to play some audio clips really quickly. I know we had technical difficulties getting here, but I always try to start the show with a few commercials and then our music. So good to say hi,
okay.
Though, and we'll be right back.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Join me, Dahl Arntzen, your host, Fridays, the Alaskan Patriot Network. I will bring you conservative views and news, both at home here in Alaska and around the world. So be sure to tune in Fridays, 2 to 5 p.m. Alaska Daylight Time, the Alaskan Patriot Network.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Okay, my theme show music is loading, so I guess we'll just not worry about that. Just imagine show music. Insert theme show music here. So, I don't know. I think I have too much stuff on my in my memory, and it's overloaded. And so if it randomly starts playing in a minute, I'll try and pause it. So how are you doing?
Doing all right. It's
good.
How about y'all?
Doing really well, thank you.
Yeah. I was looking forward to this. So,
yes. It's been a week or two since we've been able to get on together. So.
So what did you have on your mind? Or did you want to read the intro?
Not this morning because I can't really get to it. That's fine. Letting everybody know this is Everlasting Covenant Study Free from Paul, where we get together and we fellowship and we read the Bible and we determine the words of the Father versus the words of the lying pen of the scribes, which is reference to Jeremiah 8 and basically the words in the Bible tell us to watch out for the written word that is not from the Father. And we found through study that the canon was put together by men, and the standard for the canon was not necessarily what is and is not from the Father. And therefore, we have to step back when we determine to follow him and him alone and be very diligent in our process of determining what is a right walk to making sure that we're not including compromised words or words that should not have been put in there in the first place. And that also leads us to a study of Paul and the epistles that he wrote and that were canonized, starting with Romans and going all the way through to, what would you say, Titus or somewhere around there. Basically, James was not written by him. Acts was not written by him, but still needs to be read with a skeptical eye because it looks to be his favored follower, Luke, that wrote it. But he does expose Paul inadvertently, I think. Some people say he did it on purpose, so maybe he was or was not Paul's fan. Not really sure, but nevertheless, he does expose Paul. So that's kind of where we're coming from in this program. It's not your traditional Christian Sunday morning radio program by any stretch of the imagination. So if you're wanting to set your feet on the old path that the Father tells us to do and follow him and him alone, then you've come to the right place. So welcome.
Hallelujah. I remember, I think it was about 4 years ago, people were presenting the idea that Paul was a false apostle. And we were saying things like, I'll speak for myself. I was saying things like, I don't know if he was false or not. I didn't know the man, so we can't, like, you know, blame the man. But the more I look at it, the more it's like, well, that was the tool that the Roman Catholic Church used to go forth and deceive many in the Christian church. And so you do, it's just funny how where I'm at today versus where I was 4 years ago. But weren't you saying that it was a study that you did with people and they to prove that Paul was legitimate, and then that got people to seeing the truth? Didn't you do a study like that?
Well, it wasn't exactly put that way. There were people that I've studied the Bible almost my entire life, and spurts more so than others, like most people. And I guess when the pandemic hit, it hit me in a way of I really need to go back to the roots of the Father and dedicate myself to being that person that holds my hand up and says whatever it costs me, you know, however foolish I look or whatever the case may be, whoever you are, I want to know who you are and follow you explicitly. So that led to a number of things that were revealed to me through study that I wasn't expecting at all. And one of them being that Paul being the false apostle. But my original radio program was 1 minute until midnight, and it dealt more with political and conspiracy and kind of like a Christian Art Bell, if anybody out there remembers Art Bell. Really, really cool guy that started his program at midnight and carried it on until like 6 a.m. in the morning. It was called Coast to Coast. And I think that he's no longer living, but there's another guy that took his place. And so my radio program was somewhat like his in a way. But as I felt convicted to know the Father more, I realized that needed to be more the direction of my radio program, and basically narrowing it down to the most important thing on this earth, and that being our relationship with our Creator, and realizing that the greatest conspiracies on this earth are those that block our vision of Him. And so that's the direction that I ended up going in. And through my dedication to knowing him better, I had Bible study outside of the regular radio program that want to keep their radio program confidential. They, you know, obviously are still very much avidly promoting their viewpoint, so which, you know, we all have the right to do. We all stand before the Father individually. So there were guests on my show that also had their own program, and the idea was brought up on the program by another one of my guests that is more in line with the way you and I think, that the feast days are the holy days that we are to observe versus the pagan holidays. And so that conversation was brought up in the other more traditional viewpoint. Guest stated that she didn't see anything wrong with Halloween or Christmas or, you know, anything like that. And so we had a private conversation, and she was aware that I keep the Sabbath, and she just made the comment, well, just as long as you are certain that you're saved and that you don't share the Sabbath with anybody else and become a stumbling block to them, then I guess, you know, carry on with the way that you believe. And that point at which she told me not to share the Sabbath with anybody else so that I did not become a stumbling block, it just really did not sit well with me and caused me to study the word stumbling block, coming across what the Messiah says in Revelation is the stumbling block, is the one that stands in between the way of an individual and their creator, pointing away from the commandments of the Father, not pointing to them. And so that's when, you know, I'd already had a lot of questions about Paul, and a lot of the Bible studies that we did were very Pauline, because that's, you know, what, 2/3 of the New Testament, 3/4 of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. So most people, the foundation of Christianity is set on Paul's letters, not on the Messiah's words, because of dispensationalism, and they give the excuse that that's fact because the Messiah died, was resurrected, and this is what came after him. Even though the last words that the Messiah said, what were, go and teach all the nations that which I have taught you, not that which the one that will follow after me will teach you. And so that kind of set me in motion to search out some of those questions even further. And that led me to, is Paul a fake apostle? By, forget the name of that ministry, but is Paul a fake apostle with a picture of him in mosaic form on YouTube? And that's like a 3-hour, almost 4-hour expose of Paul versus the Messiah side by side and all of those scriptures. And that's when it became clear to me why there was such a cavern between the way that I think and the way that most Christians think. And I remember following that one morning early, like 3 o'clock in the morning early, being awakened. And the story of it's typically thought to be a female name, and it starts with a K. It's referred to in the book of Jude.
Well, I'm real close. I can get there.
Yeah. the story of basically Cora is typically thought to be a female.
The man, and
his company that came and basically confronted Moses and said, you know, who are you to tell us to keep the law? We have relationship with God directly, you know, or the Father in heaven directly. And then Moses prayed about it and said, okay, if you're correct, then you'll die of an old age, but if I'm correct, you will die tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day they all gathered, and the earth opened up into a great cavern in between Moses and Korah and his company, and the earth swallowed up Korah and his company. And I think that, you know, so much of the time what you see in the Old Testament are word pictures. The actual event that occurred is there, but very interestingly, it creates a word picture or a parable for us in today's time. And I think that cavern that swallowed Korah and his company up is the cavern that we feel as we set apart ones are tapped on the shoulder and obey and respond to that prompting to follow him. And it creates a cavern. We have to be brave enough to stay on the right side of that cavern.
That's a good way to explain it. Yeah. It does set you apart, and when you're looking at these truths, it's more of a, it's not something that you're doing yourself. It's like the choice to believe. Like, you can't unbelieve the truth that you've just been shown. And so it automatically pulls you apart to cross back over that, did you call it a chasm or a cavern?
A cavern. And chasm would also be appropriate, I think.
Right.
A great gaping hole in the ground.
Yes,
like the Grand Canyon. Like there,
yeah.
You start out being across a little tributary, and then it's across a river from each other, and then you're across a big cavern like the Grand Canyon, like they're over there and you're over here, and you can't get to each other without one of you falling in, you know. It's, you realize, that's why you see on Facebook even right now, a lot of people are coming out and saying, I have less and less and less to do with Christianity the more and more I read the Bible. The people are waking up and realizing what the Father said to do when you actually take one step in his direction and then another and then another, you find yourself a mile outside of Christianity. And then when that first mile is the distance between you and Christianity, you realize, something really crazy is going on here. I thought this was the truth my whole life. And then you start really studying it, and then you get that 5 miles out. And it's what we call coming out of Babylon. We just didn't know Babylon was the church. We didn't understand that.
Yes, and I know that to go back and cross that cavern and to go back just to be in right standing or fellowship with your loved ones, that would actually be you putting on a mask and like being putting on a false identity just to try to please man. And there are those that, you know, they go back and do play that false identity. And then there are those that continue to come out and continue to look weirder and weirder to those that haven't. And so I'm glad you brought that up about the cavern, because I see that in my mind now. I see it. I mean, I've read the story in the scriptures, but I'm like, as far as like putting it in the words the way you did, as far as coming out of Christianity, I remember the first time I told a family member that I can't identify myself anymore. Like they asked me, Point Blank asked me, would you call yourself a Christian anymore? And I said, no, and I can't. And to them, it really hurt them because they thought that I was denying Yahushua, denying the Christ, denying Jesus, the way they would put it. And that's not what I was doing at all. I was actually standing up more for him, you know, when I said these letters of Paul are mixed with lies and truth, then but they couldn't see that. I know that's hurtful to them, as it's hurtful to those that are experiencing the in between space, you know.
Right. Absolutely.
What do you think about, I'm just curious your thoughts on people will quote a verse about Paul that's got truth in it. I mean, it's a verse that was supposedly written down by Paul. It's in one of his books. And they say, oh, this is, you know, but do you think you should share any of that, or do you think that it should all be left alone?
I personally think leave it alone. We don't need so a forked tongue is stated such because one side is truth and one side is error, but it's all part of the same tongue. And so to borrow from the tongue of the serpent to state truth is not something that the Father needs. He doesn't need help from the serpent to stand in his own truth. If something needs to be said, it was said by the Father, and you can use his words. Yeah. And I also think that the reason why we have some truth from Paul is because of the what I call the great switcheroo, which I believe very, very much so that this is also what the Messiah refers to as the great deception, and that Daniel refers to as that which cannot yet be understood but will be understood and is making me sick at my stomach right now. And the reason that Daniel was so nauseated was because he realized that the truth would be borrowed, twisted, and what I call the great switcheroo. The enemy took the position of the Father and superimposed his own position over it, such that those that would follow the error would not realize it to the extent that when truth itself was posed to them, they would stick to the error, and they would quote the words against the truth tellers.
Yeah.
Basically making the truth tellers incapable of standing, that we can stand in the truth, but the majority of people are not going to recognize that we're standing in truth because of the great switcheroo, the great calling black white and white black, if you follow me.
Yes.
Just for example, the book Titus goes through and brings a railing accusation against the truth tellers, and then a lot of words are said about the truth tellers that are very condescending. So those that are not rooted in the Father, the silly ones, and it's funny that to hear Paul talking about those not rooted in the Father and the silly ones, as though the truth tellers are those people. Because it's those that are the silly ones and not rooted in the Father that follow him and say, yeah, the truth tellers are wrong. And I'm just wrapping up those that understand the Father truly as truth tellers so that, you know, there can be some clarity to my message here. But it's how everything has gotten twisted. And there's something that I'm trying to communicate with it that I'm trying to figure out how to say. So instead of the anti-Christ tellers, coming with a brand new message that could have been easily identified by the masses as, we don't recognize that at all. Where did you come up with all of that? The message of truth was borrowed, and a little bit of error was dripped here, and a little bit of error was dripped there, a little bit of, we don't need to worry about what we eat, eat whatever as long as you're not offending somebody else, to make you look like a good guy, that you care about offending somebody else, a little bit of, you know, you don't have many fathers, but I've been a father to you, said in such an endearing way that the remembrance of the Messiah saying, call no man your father, for there you have one Father in heaven. Those types of changes were done very subtly and done through the auspice of doing good, that the majority of people that are going about their busy lives and care more about their busy lives than really getting on their knees and serving the Father, the masses that fall into that category don't recognize that a switcheroo was even done. And and therein lies the danger, because when you're now my mother came up with this analogy today, and I just have, or recently, and I just have to borrow it. But when you become a block that's not a part of the Rubik's Cube, and the Rubik's Cube is supposed to be a solid color on each side, and it becomes complete chaos, and it may bend a little this way, and it may bend a little that way. If you can imagine that it was more like a jelly shape, with the bending being the errors of the individual cubes, and then you look at it and it's a bunch of chaos. As long as you're a part of that Rubik's Cube, the other cubes in the Rubik's Cube don't care that you're not following the pattern that the Rubik's Cube should be following, because you're part of the cube and they want to stick together. But if you're a block outside of that, you don't fit into the mold, and you offer a perspective that from over here, that cube looks like utter chaos, and it's not doing the right thing that it's supposed to do, and therefore you become the enemy because you are exposing the fact that the cube has error in it. And so they have to say, oh, they project the error onto you. You're outside of the norm, and you're doing wrong. And they can't quite pinpoint what that is, and if they ever give you a specific, you can share with them the truth of that particular, the context of that particular specific, so they won't actually give you enough specifics that you can be found to be upstanding, you know, and the upstanders for those are few and far between, because nobody wants to enter that kind of chaos and that kind of conflict, and so you get left out in the cold, you know. So, but the great switcheroo is really the source of it, I think, and therefore that's my answer as to why some of it sounds true, some of it is true. It's true in the sense that if you laid it over the true message, it would be true. But because it's laid over the false message and it's glorifying the false message, the individual statement may be true. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, being the fruit of the Spirit, for example. Yes, we should have those things showing up in our life. But the fact of the matter that he's pointing those things as fruit of the person that's following this switcheroo message, it's a very dangerous ground to go down to promote the anti-Messiah message. Therefore, in the big picture, looking at the forest, not the trees, it's error. And it's kind of a hard pill to swallow because it sounds so good. And didn't Daniel say that the anti-Messiah would come with what? With guns and bombs and explosives and things that you could easily tell that he was the enemy? No. Flatteries. He would come with flatteries. So these perfumey words that are laid over the false message attract people, and they're coming by the droves to join, and that's what causes the wide gate to exist. And it all starts to make sense. Oh, few be there that find it, being the narrow gate.
Yeah.
Few there be that find it. Few there be that find the narrow gate. And then you start to really shake in your boots and get chills up your spine. And, well, do I even know him? If it's this difficult to know him and it's this easy to be deceived, and this is why we apply ourselves in fellowship and ask him, you know, Father, please reveal yourself, you know, or Yahuwah, please reveal yourself, as you've so genuinely pointed out that the Father is the Mother as well. And yeah. I agree.
Yeah, we believe Creator is male and female. And to be in his image, we're expressions of his image.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the message of Paul, the last several decades, has been infiltrated into the minds and hearts of people that have been deceived, that what has been going on, there's also been a ministering spirit of oppression through the teaching of you're a pitiful sinner and you're just always going to be that way. And I'm seeing that so clearly, how people, that's a huge, not everybody, but that's a huge reason a lot of people are stuck in the Pauline doctrine and can't break away, because they have come under agreement that they are these pitiful sinners. And it's almost like they've come addicted, fallen in love with their sin, and they're in this religion that says, well, you're always going to be this way, so you can always enjoy it and just ask for forgiveness. That oppressive spirit that people have grown up with, like you're always going to be this way, was not supposed to be taught in truth, you know, in pulpits of truth. That was not supposed to be taught, because Yahushua is power and he is strength and ability. He is the ability, what manifests, you know, as our strength and ability to bust through any sin that, you know, we would come across, or there would be no thorn left in our flesh, as Paul has said, you know. And the manifestation of Yahuwah is enough to break through anything and allow us to overcome sin in our lives. That's not what's taught by Paul.
Right,
and
right.
It's a gripping effect on a soul that wants to get, because they're
right.
Like, well, you know, I got this issue here. I'm not ever going to get rid of it. You know, if you're thinking that, you're a pitiful sinner, you know, but you can't get set free. So I feel like that's played into the fact, you know, the stronghold factor on a lot of people's lives that have been under the Pauline doctrine in the last several decades, and brought up in it.
Right. I had somebody just yesterday ask me, they were asking me about my radio program, and they were asking me about, you know, why do you say free from Paul? And I stated, well, because the Messiah and Paul really are opposites, if you start to dissect it and analyze it. And they asked me to give them a few examples, and I gave them a few, and they were just like kind of mesmerized, you know, because unless you really look at it, it really does go under the radar, and it's
yeah.
it's really interesting how that is.
Yeah, it does. I haven't shared, or we haven't shared Paul's verses in a long time, just simply for the fact that we didn't want people to continue in his, you know, in his studies, even though there was some truth there, you know, like a verse, you could take a verse out and it's like, oh, that sounds wonderful. And, but we haven't shared it in a long time. And Chris hasn't felt led to share it in a long time, even before we came to the comprehension that we've really got to speak out on this, because, you know, it is just, it kept circling around. It's not that we were in sin denying it. It's just we had a lot on our plate, and this thing kept coming around. And one day we didn't have much on our plate, and then like, okay, that's how the Father works. It's like, okay, it's now it's time to work on this. And then we had to go back and like, man, it's just like, and we both looked at each other, and we were both like, the road gets narrower and narrower and narrower. And what we meant when we said that and looked at each other's old, it's just like, man, you know, these aren't things that we're choosing to say, hey, we want to be separated, but these things that we choose to separate us. And it is like, that's the why that you gave that picture of that cavern in my mind's eye. It was just like, yeah, it's the choices we make that that puts the boundary, the distinction there. And you know, it's that's what's hard is you get pulled in directions away from people that you love, and you just are following the truth, and you just have to follow the truth, and you're excited. You think everybody else is going to want to hear too, and you find out real quick they don't, and you're like,
right, exactly.
You might feel like we're going through these five stages of grief sometimes because of things that we really carry as you know, as truths, and we're praying that people will see it, and then they don't, and it's like, you know, it's hard.
I agree.
You know, this too. What do you think about the name Yahuwah versus Yahweh? And let me just say this. I know there's a lot of talk about the name out there, and I'm not trying to start an argument or anything. I know you and I wouldn't argue. I'm just saying.
Right.
I just, I thought years back I read that Yahweh was the bad God of the Bible, and Yahuwah was the good God of the Bible. And so I didn't dive into a deep study about it. It just resonated with me, and until I'm, you know, told to look into it deeper, I'm pretty much settled on the name being Yahuwah. But now people are saying that that's not even the right name. And we went back and looked at it, and we're settled on that. But and we're not ones that we love all people. If you call him God, Jesus is, you know, that's what people are supposed to, you know, you got to do what you got to do. This is what we're called to do. And so I'm just curious, did you hear that about Yahweh being the bad God and Yahuwah?
Yes.
Okay.
And I've even heard that Yahuwah is the bad God somehow. And there's a group of people out there referring to the Father as something to do with an A, like all, it's Alewa or something like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Actually, the lady that I was talking about earlier that does the was Paula Fake Apostle series, Scriptural Truth, she's gotten into that group. And a lot of her stuff now, I find that I can't go there on. a lot of times, you know, when I refer to the supreme deity as the Father on this program, it has a lot to do with not wanting to be a stumbling block to the many different names that people have settled on, because I think the message is more important, not to discredit the fact that as you're coming out of Babylon and you are removing the leaven from your walk, calling the Father by the right name is definitely important, I think. But it's kind of like Sabbath for me, honestly confused on the matter. I think what my heart tells me right now is that it's Yahuwah, and I leave room for the fact that I could be wrong. You know, I just feel like a person that doesn't understand everything, and I think that's okay. I'm not on this program trying to be a pastor or pastorette or whatever and teaching the people. This is a place to fellowship for us to discuss, for people that are close to where we are that want to discover more, to do so, and that therefore I'm not, you know, going to lay a, like most pastors will, and stand from the pulpit and say this is how it is. I think there's room to say I don't know for sure, and I'm doing the best that I can today until he reveals more to me.
Yeah.
For sure, you know.
I totally get that, and I mean there's times when, you know, I'm face-to-face with somebody, and, you know, I'll say the Heavenly Father or the Creator, because the intent of my service or my act of kindness, or, you know, something an extension of what is, you know, going on in the moment, I don't need to make a distraction from that, as far as, like, you can be the expression of the Creator in the way he moves you. But if you get all entangled up with, like, oh, they got to say the name this way, or they got to say it this way, then you take away from that moment that you can, like, move mountains in someone's life, you know, just by a simple, kind, you know, thing. But if you take it and you say, this is my pulpit, and I'm standing right here, and they're going to hear me, you know, I mean, it can do more harm than good. Now, I'll say that, you know, we're satisfied in calling the name Yahuwah Elohim. Yahuwah to me says you who are, and Elohim is all that you are. So when I say Yahuwah Elohim, I'm saying you who are all that you are. So I'm comfortable with that, and but I'm also comfortable with saying my Father, my Heavenly Father. And there's times when I'm more apt to say my Father, because I need that, you know, that I'm crying out in an intimate way. And so, I was just curious. We had that, you know, I know we talked about different names and things like that. And I know I've definitely grown in my expression of kindness, you know, considering the name. I wasn't necessarily a Torah terrorist about it or anything like that. I was just, I'm more aware that it's about bringing his presence than it is about saying, you've got to say this name right, or I've got to teach this name right, or, you know, I've come a long way in that area of growth. I praise my maker for that.
Yes, definitely.
Seems like we got about 5 more minutes, doesn't it?
I don't even know what time it is. I probably, yes.
We got a little bit more, like 8 minutes.
And that. means in the end. Okay, well, this has been a really great program. I missed Chris today. He's always so full of knowledge and interaction as well. But this has been really good getting back together with you. I think it's probably been, what, 3 or 4 weeks. We've each had something, one of us 1 week, one of us the other. So I was afraid you guys were both saying that you couldn't make it today. I didn't read your text correctly, and that's why I was like, all right, you know. But I'm so glad that you were able to come.
We thoroughly enjoyed too. And, you know, we were just disappointed. It was just no way we get here last. We were just disappointed. We missed this. So it's very good for our spirits and very good for our, you know, the uplifting of our week. So when we don't get to make it, it's like we've got to get back and not miss, not just, you know, you have to. The thing I believe is we have face-to-face appointments and then we have all these online things. Not all. I mean, it's not like we have a lot. I'm just saying it's like I have to, like, you know, it's just, it's what do you choose is real life, right, in the moment? You know, okay, this is real life in the moment, but I need to be here on this right now.
Right.
I don't know if
it is. It is so tempting a lot of times to not meet up or not do the program, you know, because life gets so busy and everything. But I think it might have stopped recording us.
Okay.
Oh, wait. No, it says
12:24 on my end.
Yeah, it says we're still on air. I think we have 4:54 is what the deal is. So.
But I want to do better. I want to do better because if this is fellowship for us, and we appreciate it. We appreciate
agreed.
You.
We should do something during the week sometime too. If you and Chris can look at your schedule and see if I don't know, I'm off this next week because of Thanksgiving. If y'all wanted to hop on something for 30 minutes or so,
yeah,
I would love that anyway.
We would too. We would too.
All right. Yeah. Well, everybody that's been able to make it on air, I hope you join us next Sunday at 11 a.m. Central to about 12:30. And if you come on and there's nobody there, you might try back in 30 minutes. Sometimes we have technical difficulties. So hope everybody has a wonderful week and Thanksgiving and time with family. And be careful driving and traveling.
Yes. Take care. Shalom.